I want you to picture the smartest new hire that you've ever made. Brilliant, fast, knows a little bit about everything, right? And works around the clock, never complains. Now, imagine that on day one, before they've signed anything, before anyone has checked who they really are, you hand in the keys to your hospital, your bank, federal data center, and you say, "Go ahead. You seem great. Knock yourself out." You'd never do that with that person. Seems though we're about to do that with AI, though, aren't we? Here's the uncomfortable part. When people ask, "Can we trust this AI?" they're almost always asking the wrong question. They're asking whether the intelligence is good enough. But I've spent years building these systems for environments where a single mistake is a federal headline. And I can tell you, the intelligence was never the hard part. The intelligence was the part that always gets the standing ovation, right? It's the trust. The trust is everything that you can't see. And it's the stuff nobody films. So today, I want to answer a question that gets thrown around constantly and almost never actually defined. We hear it from CEOs, from regulators, from every AI company's marketing department about trustworthy AI, responsible AI, AI that you can trust. Well, what does that actually mean? And I'm not talking about a slogan or, and something engineering. Something you can point to and say, that right there, that's the part that earns trust. Because I'll tell you, from what most of the coverage actually does, most coverage treats trustworthiness like a personality trait in a model. And we know what those are too. Oh yeah, the model is safe. This one hallucinates less. This one's more aligned to your mission goals. And it's like if you could interview a model and get a good feeling about it, you'd hire it. I want to give you a completely different frame, and it's the spine of this whole episode. Trust is not something a model is. Trust is something you build around it. So let's go back to the brilliant hire for a second, and because the analogy goes deeper than you think, right? The model is the talent, but talent has never been what makes a building safe. What makes a building safe are the permits, the locked doors, the sign-in sheets right at the front desk. The inspector who comes through and checks the work behind the walls, that's what makes the building safe. So in other words, it's the plumbing, right? It's everything that goes into the building. The wiring, the pipes, things that nobody films, nobody applauds, nobody even notices till something goes wrong. And that plumbing, though, is the entire difference between impressive and trustworthiness. So the model is the brilliant new hire who can build anything fast, but who's a little unpredictable, occasionally makes up some things, but has total confidence in what it makes up and has no idea which rooms they're allowed to walk in. Trustworthy AI isn't about hiring a more impressive person. It's about building the building correctly around them. That's the show today. The plumbing, the stuff behind the walls. That's what we're going to talk about. And here is the uncomfortable truth. And I've learned this. Building these systems for regulated environments too, right? It's you know, the most important AI engineering of really the next decade is this stuff that is going to be completely invisible in a product or product video or anywhere. The demo, if you think about it, the demo sells the dream. The plumbing earns the deployment. And there is a large canyon between the two. And I'm going to walk you through that canyon using really four questions. And it's not four features. So don't mix these up. It's four questions. Because these are the exact questions a regulator, an auditor, an inspector general will ask you before they let your beautiful AI anywhere near a real deal or real data. And every one of them is a question the demo has never had to answer. And, you know, whether it's question one, two, three, four, each one is a pillar, though. And I want you to think about these as we go through the rest of the show. So question one, though, is who is allowed to ask? Okay, think about that. Who's allowed to ask? Whose data is it touching? That's question two. Can you prove what happened? Question three. And not only is it four wrong answers, but also right answers. Now, question four is, though, what happens when it's wrong? Because that is going to be the key. Answer those four questions honestly, and you've defined trustworthy AI better than any marketing deck will ever be able to do. And so keeping that perspective is going to be huge. Now, let's look at question one, really. Pillar one, right? Who is allowed to ask? Well, here's the thing a demo never shows you, right? And, you know, anyone can ask anything, right? But that's actually the point of the demo, right? It's frictionless, it's magical, unicorns flying, you type in whatever you want, and the genie answers, oh, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, right? It's perfect, it's just what I need. Well, in a regulated system, the very first thing that has to happen before the model does anything, before you even can generate a single token or even access one, is the system has to answer, is this person allowed to ask that question? And that can be about the data, the context, whatever it is. And if you've never built one of these, your instinct is, okay, sure. Yeah, log in with a password and you're in. That's fine. That's not even close. So let me show you really the layers that actually matter, okay? Because this is where the trust is really going to start. And that's important. So the first layer is what we call role-based access control, right? It's RBAC. I've heard that used a lot. It's the idea that, you know, it's simple and you already live it pretty much day to day, right? Your role determines what you can touch. A nurse can see patient records. A billing clerk can see invoices. The billing clerk can pull up, you know, your MRI results and, oh, no, we don't want that, right? That's not supposed to happen. But a nurse also can't see everyone's credit card numbers. Your role is key, and that's what's going to open the doors, some doors and not others, right? Decent software has this. It's table stakes. It has to be. But here's why role-based access alone is not enough for, you know, serious environments. And this is the part that people miss. Roles are blunt. What I mean by that is a doctor. It's a role. But should every doctor see every patient's records? No, clearly not. Should a doctor be able to pull a patient's full psychiatric history at 3 a.m. from an IP in another country on a personal device? Probably not. The role says, doctor, sure, let him in. But everything else about that situation is screaming no, right? That's where the second layer comes in, okay? This is what we call attribute-based access control, or ABAC. And instead of asking just, hey, what's your role, you know, as part of those questions, blah, 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 it says, who are you? What's your clearance level? Where are you physically right now? What device are you on? How sensitive is the specific data that you're reaching for? What time is it? Does the purpose you stated match the data you're requesting? And it's the difference, though, between a key and a context. See, RBOC says that, you know, the key opens the door. That's great. ABAC, well, the key opens this door, but only between 9 and 5. Only from the inside of the building. Only from this location. Only from the building in the building, right? Whatever that is. But it evaluates the whole situation live and then decides. And I want to make this vivid, right? Because this is exactly where a helpful AI becomes a catastrophe, okay? So picture your friendly chatbot from the demo. Someone types, summarize the patient's records for me. And the chatbot, being helpful, because that's what it's trained to be, it's helpful, happily does that. Pulls everything. It's a beautiful summary. It's gorgeous. That single helpful act in a healthcare setting can be a HIPAA violation. The instant that the system didn't first stop and ask, who's asking? Are they allowed to see this specific information? Why now? The model didn't do anything wrong by its own standards. It was being helpful, but that's the trap. It's a regulated environment, and helpful without authorization, it's a breach. The helpfulness can be a danger. So the plumbing here, the invisible, unapplaudable plumbing, right, is the layer that sits in front of AI and acts as a gate. Every request hits the gate first. The gate checks the identity, the role, the attributes, the context. Only if it clears all those is the model allowed to answer. And critically, and this is kind of subtle, but the gate also shapes what the model is even allowed to see before it can make an answer. Now, the model, it can't leak data. It's never permitted to retrieve in the first place. You don't ask the model to be discrete. That's not going to work. You make sure it never holds the secrets to begin with. That's a profound design shift. The demo optimizes the let the AI do as much as possible. Let's show off everything that we can do. The trustworthy system optimizes for, hey, let AI do exactly what this person in this moment is authorized to do and not one more thing. And notice, none of this shows up in the demo. You can't film a permission check. There's no wow moment in having a system be refused to do something. But it's that refusal, that quiet, invisible capability that no, you are not allowed to see this data, you are not allowed to answer that question, and you're especially not allowed to do it in this location or context. That's really the first magic trick that trustworthy systems have to abide by. So that's pillar one. Who's allowed to ask? You get that wrong, quite honestly, nothing else matters. You've built a beautiful machine for leaking secrets. That's all you've done. You get it right, though, you've earned the right to move to the next question. Because once you've controlled who can ask, you got a much harder problem then. What happens when you're serving not one customer, but a dozen? Or 100, or 1,000, or 10,000. And they're legally forbidden from seeing each other's data. That's pillar two. Now, stay with us. We'll be back after a few messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Bedeau. And before the break, we locked the front door. We made sure only the right person can ask the right question. Well, you know, now I want to take you somewhere most people never even think about. And, you know, because it sounds boring, you know, until you realize it's where trust most often quietly dies. And here's the question for this segment, though. Whose data is the AI actually touching? In the demo, and again, say it with me, there's one user, there's one data set, and it always is brilliant. One person, one pile of information, one little clean, glorious world, frictionless, magical, and completely unlike reality. If you're not giggling about that, then you've never had to experience it. In a real deployment, you're almost never serving one customer. You're serving many. In my world, it might be multiple agencies. In a healthcare platform, it might be multiple hospital systems. In a financial product, it's going to be multiple banks, right? And we have a word for each of these separate customers, right? They're tenants. And like tenants in an apartment building, same thing. Same building, same infrastructure, same plumbing, but each one has their own unit. And absolutely none of them can walk into anyone else's apartment. It's the same thought process. And, you know, the rule for these tenants isn't, please try not to mix up their data. The rule is they legally cannot see each other's data, ever. Not in the answer, not in a cache result sitting in memory, not in a log file, not even, and this one goes kind of deep, not even inside the model's own working memory in the middle of generating a response. Oh, is that a hallucination maybe? Ooh, maybe. It's called tenant isolation, okay? And it's one of the hardest, least glamorous, most important problems in all of applied AI. And now let me explain why it's so much harder than it sounds, because it's not an easy concept. When you build a single AI app, data flows freely. That's the whole point, right? You want a model to have everything it can to make the best decision. But the moment you have multiple tenants sharing the same system, every place that data can flow becomes a place that data can leak. And AI systems have way more of those places than normal software because it's just how they work. Think about everything an AI system touches in a single request. It pulls relevant documents, helps inform the answer. It's its retrieval step. It holds a context window, a kind of short-term memory that, you know, allows it to reason. It might even cache results to be faster the next time, right? Because speed matters. It could even be log files, right, for debugging. But you know, it's every single one of those in a bucket. And that's where data temporarily can live. And every single one of those buckets has to be perfect. It has to be ruthlessly walled off per tenant. You don't want to mix those buckets up. Now, here's an analogy, much easier analogy, I think, to use. So like a normal data breach is like a burglar breaking into a building, okay? Somebody from the outside got in. Tenant isolation failure is worse and it's much stranger. It's like the walls between the apartments developing holes and, you know, nobody broke in. The building security is fine. But apartment A can suddenly hear everything happening in apartment B. And maybe it grabs some stuff off the shelf. The system did exactly what it was built to do. The model performed flawlessly. And that is precisely when trust collapses. Not when the AI is wrong, but when it's right, but it's about the wrong person's data. And let me even make it more concrete, okay? Imagine you have an AI assistant serving two competing banks on the same platform. You've got an analyst at Bank A asks a perfectly reasonable question about market exposure. System goes, retrieves the data, gets the relevant context, provides a great answer. And maybe because of one sloppy line of code, one misscoped cache, one missing tenant tag, whatever that is, it pulls in a document from Bank B's confidential files. And it writes a beautiful, accurate, helpful summary that includes Bank B's positions. The model didn't hallucinate. It didn't malfunction. It gave a better, more informed answer by leaking data it never should have been able to see. The intelligence made it worse. That's the nightmare. Capability without isolation isn't a feature. It's a liability with a much faster engine. That's why I have been saying for years and years, AI needs to be treated as an insider threat, meaning that it has access, it has capability, and it has a very easy way of mixing those two up and leaking information. So think about what the plumbing looks like. Let's take a little step back. It's the architecture of the walls, right? Every piece of data, every document, every record, every cached chunk, every log line, everything gets stamped with which tenant it belongs to. And to stamp that, you know, travels everywhere. Through every layer of the system, every retrieval. The model's working memory is, you know, it's wiped, it's rebuilt per tenant. Nothing bleeds from one request over to the other. Your agents cannot go from one to the other. There's a lot of assurances that have to take place. And we're not even at the hard part yet. You give different tenants physically separate infrastructure. Because the only way that you can guarantee it never leaks is, you know, not having it be in the same place to begin with. And, you know, none of this is in the demo, right? You cannot film tenant isolation. You can't. There's no applause for the system that correctly does not show Bank A something that it's not supposed to show from Bank B. It doesn't work that way. It's invisible by definition. The whole point is that it is working so that nothing happens. The success state of tenant isolation should be a non-event, a perfectly quiet, uneventful nothing. That's it. But I want you to sit with, you know, how much engineering, how much architecture, how much obsessive discipline goes into manufacturing nothing. Because that nothing is what lets a hospital, a bank, a federal agency all run on the same intelligent platform and each one sleep at night knowing that their data is never touched and their agents have never leaked anything. That's trust. Trust is quiet. Trust is the wall you cannot see through that you never even notice until you realize there's a problem. So pillar one, who controls, you know, we control who to ask, right? And pillar two, we guarantee whose data gets touched. But here's the next problem, right? And I want you to, going into the break, I want you to think about this. Even if you've done both of those perfect, how do you prove it? Months later, when an investigator shows up and asks, what exactly did you do to these systems and why? Can you answer? Well, that's pillar three. and it's where AI gets forensic. Okay. We're going to talk about that right after our break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and this is AI Today. And I want you to think about the previous two segments about, you know, who has permission, who's allowed, and whose data is touched, right? And now in this segment, though, I want you to think about the first time you really, really absorbed it, and it changes really how you think about AI and how you will think about AI. And that's, you know, the flashy demos are ephemeral, right? Trustworthy AI, it's got to be forensic. And I'm going to unpack that a little bit because, you know, the gap between those two words, ephemeral and forensic, is most of what separates a toy from a tool. It really is going to determine if you can ever take your tool into a regulated environment or not. Now, a demo, think about it. It's the moment, okay? It happens. Everyone goes, wow, it's beautiful. It's great. It solves all my problems. It's fantastic. And then it's gone. Nobody asks 3 months later, hey, exactly, did that demo system do at 2:47 in the afternoon and why? The demo doesn't have to remember. The demo doesn't have to account for itself. A real system in a regulated environment lives in a completely different universe. In that universe, someone will come and ask. Maybe it's an auditor, compliance officer, an inspector, general, whatever. Maybe it's a regulator. Maybe it's a court. But they're going to show up sometimes months later, years maybe, and they're going to ask one deceptively simple question. Why'd that system do that? Uncomfortable radio silence usually comes into play after that. Why did it recommend this loan to be denied, for example? Why did it flag this transition as fraud? Why did it surface this record to this person? Why did it produce this answer instead of something else? And here's the thing. I don't know. The AI decided. Good luck with that answer. Okay. The model is a black box is not an acceptable answer either. In a regulated environment, whose answers don't just fail and audit, they can constitute a violation all by themselves. You can be perfectly correct and still be non-compliant purely because you didn't show your work. Okay? Think about school. Think about math. Think about getting the answer wrong, but you showed all your work. You still got partial credit. If you just got the answer and you didn't show your work, you still got partial credit, or sometimes maybe even got it wrong. So this pillar is about building systems that can always show their work. We can call it an audit trail. We can call it whatever, full accountability. You know, there's so many different buzzwords surrounding it, but we're just going to call it an audit trail just for ease. And I want to convince you that it's not a boring back office checkbox, okay? It's one of the most demanding, and quite honestly, it's a really an underappreciated piece of AI engineering that there is. That's just how it is. There's a lot of work, a lot of meticulous checking that has to take place in order to even get to this point. And here's why it's hard, though. So a traditional audit log, very simple, right? User X opened a file Y at any time Z. Okay, very simple, done. Perfect. But an AI decision is not a single action. It's a chain. To truly reconstruct why an AI system produced a given answer, you have to capture the entire story. Who asked? What exactly did they ask? What did the system retrieve to inform its answer? Which is documents, it can be records, but what data? What was the model state? Which version of the model was running? Because these models, right, they get updated all the time. They get retrained. They go through all these processes. What training data did you use? When did you do it? All those things. But the model that made a decision in March is probably not going to be the same model that's running today. So what instructions, what system prompt, what guardrails were in place at that moment? What did the model actually produce? Did humans review it? Did anyone override it? What did the person do with the answer? Every single link in that chain has to be captured. It's got to be timestamped, and it's got to be stored in a way that can be quietly brought to light later. Because an audit trail, you can edit after the fact, is not an audit trail, right? It's a creative writing exercise. It's not auditable. So the whole value is to put it in a tamper evident, someone changes something, you can see what was changed. So you've got almost an audit of an audit. And here's the line though, I want you to think about, because really it's the heart of this segment. And, I want you to think about it like this. So in regulated AI, and trust me, that is not the answer. Here's the log. That is. Think about how profound that reframe is, right? So we started this whole episode asking, what does it mean to trust AI? And here's the huge part of that answer, right? Is you don't trust it by believing it. You trust it because you can verify it. Trust in the serious sense, it's not faith. What do we always say about, having a business plan? It's not built on hope. Trust in an AI system is not built on faith. It's the ability to check. The audit trail, turns your evidence into reality. And, here's the complete timestamp, tamper evident record. Check it for yourself. That is a great response. And, I want to draw out something, almost philosophical, because I think it's great. We tend to think of trust as a thing you extend when you can't verify. I trust you. Usually means I can't check, so I'm choosing to believe you. But trustworthy AI flips that completely. The most trustworthy system isn't the one that asks for your faith. It's the one that makes faith unnecessary. Everything is laid out. It's reconstructable. It's inspectable. The system earns trust by making itself impossible to take purely on trust. Now, back to the plumbing, okay? What does that actually take? It means instrumenting everything. Every request, every retrieval, every model version, every prompt, every output, every human touch point, everything orchestrated, captured as it happens, timestamped, not reconstructed from later memory. It means immutable storage, so the records cannot be quietly rewritten. It means being able to replay a decision, to go back to a moment in time and say, here is the exact state that the AI was in. Here's why it made that decision. Here's its call. Here's what it saw. Here's what it produced. Take a look. It means tying every single action back to an identity. So there's no such thing as an anonymous decision. No. It's not cheap. Okay? It costs storage. It costs performance. It costs engineering time. All spent on something that on a good day, nobody even cares about or looks at. That is the tax of trustworthiness. You build an elaborate, meticulous record of everything, and you hope you never need it. It's the flight data recorder, if you think about it, on a plane. It lands safely 10,000 times in a row. You don't build a black box because you expect it to crash. You build it so that if anyone ever asks what happened after the fact, the answer is never, we don't know. That's unacceptable. And predictably, you know what? None of this is in the demo. There's no applause for, oh, the system kept immaculate records. Yay. Tamper evidence is everything that we just showed you. It's invisible. It's unglamorous. But, you know, it's the difference between a system that can stand in front of a regulator and one that gets shut down the first time somebody asks a hard question. It's the difference between a system that can be deployed at the front lines supporting a soldier, a warfighter, a first responder versus one that you wouldn't dare take anywhere close to those. So we've controlled who we ask, right? We've isolated whose data gets touched. We can prove exactly what happened and why. There's one pillar left, though. And honestly, it's usually the one that people skip, but it really matters the most. Because everything we've talked about so far assumes the best case. What happens when AI is just wrong? Not breached, not leaking, just confidently, completely wrong. That's pillar four. And it's how we land this entire thing. Stay with us. We'll be back after a few messages from our sponsors. Welcome back to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Badeau, and we've talked about really the three pillars of trustworthy systems. We're gonna talk about the last pillar right now, and that's what happens when the AI is wrong. And I saved this one for the last segment because, you know, it's really one almost everybody skips, and it's the one that really matters the most. Because this really defines whether a system is actually trustworthy. Now, here's a question. Again, what happens when the system's wrong? Sounds harmless, right? And we're not talking about a hallucination either. It's just the system's wrong. Notice I didn't say if. I said when. And the word is the entire mindset I want to leave you with today. Because here's this seductive lie at the center of so much AI marketing. And it's that implication that the goal is a model that never makes a mistake. That, you know, if we make it big enough and smart enough and we train it on enough data, we are going to reach the promised land and there's going to be unicorns and rainbows at the end and we're simply going to be right all the time. Then we can relax, right? We're on easy street then. That land does not exist and it's not coming. Most systems are probabilistic, right? They deal in likelihoods, not certainties. Our system, deterministic. Different system, different show, different story. We'll hit that sometime soon. But these probabilistic systems, they will sometimes be very confident, very fluent, completely wrong. It's not even close, but they're confident. That is the most dangerous thing about modern AI. And it's being wrong, and it doesn't look wrong. It sounds brilliant. It's written an article, and it's referencing these journal papers, and it's doing such a good job, and it makes so much sense. The journal papers are all lies. They made them up. Ooh. The interesting thing is it doesn't even flinch. It doesn't hedge its bet. It produces a beautifully written, totally authoritative, completely incorrect answer. With exactly the same confidence and tone, it's used when it's right. Now, some people may say, oh, it's just a liar. Bingo. Here is the single most important reframe I want you to think about this entire episode, right? Because if you remember this, that's going to help. A trustworthy system is not one that never fails. A trustworthy system is one that is designed around that assumption that it's going to fail. So when it does, the failure is contained, it's caught, and you can quickly recover from it. That is a trustworthy system. So think about it again, okay? But trust does not come from the absence of failure. Trust comes from how gracefully you have engineered it. So when it fails, you can recover. So think about this, okay? Your car, all right? Someday you're going to be in a situation where maybe it can't stop in time, right? Or something like that. And there's a certainty over the long enough timeline that something like that might happen. So we design cars by just praying that it never happens. No. We assume there's going to be a crash. And then we build seatbelts, airbags, crumple zones, anti-lock brakes, all those other things, and an entire architecture whose only job is to make sure that when the bad things happen, you can walk away from it. We have engineered for failure because we refuse to pretend that it's not going to come. Trustworthy AI is the exact same discipline. You assume the model's going to be wrong. And then you build the seatbelts, you build the crumple zones, do everything that you can to make sure that you can recover quickly from that. And think about what some of those are, right? And we've talked about these on a lot of other shows, but I'm going to try to put them all together for you. The first big one, a human in the loop. We say everything has to have a human in the loop, and we're non-negotiable about that. For consequential decisions. And quite honestly, the more consequential, the more this matters, the AI doesn't get the final word, ever. It gets to be the fastest analyst in the building, but a human makes the call. Now, the human may be wrong. We better track that too. But still, responsibility. The AI recommends, person decides. This is the difference between AI that denies your loan and AI that flags your application for a human reviewer. And then the human reviewer makes the recommendation, but they have the reasons behind it. When you remove the human from the judgment part, and it can be a life-altering decision, that's bad. It amplifies the human judgment. Same model, though. You can get a completely different trust profile. Now, second seatbelt, okay? And that's confidence thresholds and really routing, okay? So a good system knows the difference between I'm not quite sure about this, and I'm guessing. And you build it so that when a model's confidence drops below a certain line, whatever that line is, their request is automatically routed to a human. Or it takes some even more careful processes, and instead of just barreling ahead and ignoring it, the system has the humility, and it's really engineered humility if you think about it, to raise its hand and say, this is above my pay grade, I need some help. Now, you can set those lines however you feel, but there are at least lines there, and if it doesn't meet those, it goes to a human. The third, though, is really, it's really one of the most important ones that we have. It's around containment and that blast radius, okay? So when something goes wrong, how much damage does it do before someone else catches it? In trustworthy systems, you are deliberately limiting that. The AI can't unilaterally move money. It can't unilaterally delete records or take irreversible action without a checkpoint. You design it so that single wrong answer cannot cascade into a catastrophe. Keep your blast radius small on purpose, right? And those of you that have had your code overwritten by an AI, or it decided to wipe your database, you know what I'm talking about. Now, the fourth one is really around the ability to roll back and recover. When you find a failure, and you're going to, right? Because remember, pillar three, you've got to have an audit trail to find it, right? You got to make sure you can undo it. You can identify every decision that was flawed and whatever it touched, and you can correct it. Failure, it's not the end of trust. Unrecoverable failure is the end of trust. So you put those together, and you've got a system where being wrong is survivable, where a mistake is contained, it's caught, it's corrected, the event keeps moving forward, and it's not a headline. And I would argue, that's the most mature decision of a trustworthy AI system. And it's not that it never fails, but when it fails, nothing catastrophic happens. And, oh, by the way, we know immediately, right? Because that's important. So let's bring it all the way together, all right? So we started with a question, what does trustworthy AI actually mean? And I told you an answer that, wasn't going to live outside of the model. Let's see if I was able to deliver on that, right? And so, we walked through four questions. Who's allowed to ask? And we built a gate so the system controls access before the AI does anything. Whose data is it touching? And we built some walls around it so a dozen customers can't share everything, and it doesn't bleed from one into the other. Can you prove what happened? So we built a forensic record. And so trust me is not the right answer. It's here's the logs. Take a look. And what happens when it's wrong? So we built seatbelts. So failure is contained instead of being catastrophic. Now, take a look at that list, right? Look at what's not on it. Notice that not a single one of those four pillars is make my model smarter. Not one. The gap between a cool prototype and a system federal agency can certify and sign off on, it's never about a better model. It's always about the plumbing and what the demo never shows you. The permits, the walls, the records, the seatbelts. And here's the definition I'm gonna leave you with, okay? After all of it, here's what I think a trustworthy AI system really means. And it's simpler than the slogans, okay? So it's easy to remember. Trustworthiness doesn't mean smart. Doesn't even mean accurate. just means it's accountable. It means you can control it and who uses it. You prove what it did. You can contain when it's wrong. And you can stand in front of somebody and, you know, whose entire job, if you think about it, is to be skeptical of you and your software, you know, a CISO, an auditor, whoever, and say with a straight face, honestly, that the receipts back up this, you know, so trust us. And I mean it. And here we go. The intelligence, quite honestly, that's the easy part now. The intelligence shows up in demos, gets the standing ovation, always. The trust is everything behind it that nobody films. It is the least glamorous, the hardest, the most important work in the entire field. And it's work that decides whether an AI ends up running in our hospitals, in our banks, in our institutions responsibly, or whether it just keeps getting standing ovations in rooms where nobody has asked any of these questions. Ask those questions. It's the entire game. We have talked about, you know, AI, being able to save time, save money, save effort, accelerate the things that you are trying to do. But remember that, you know, your reputation is counting on it. It takes years and years and years to build a positive relationship with your customers. AI takes minutes to ruin it. All because you could have deployed a system that was built on hope. It's not a good idea. So I'm Dr. Bedell. Thank you for watching AI Today. Welcome the questions, like always. Happy to answer them as best I can in the episodes, and I will see you next week.